This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.
Gabby's embarrassing moment number
1419. I think we're about there at the moment.
Yeah, right.
This happened on Sunday night. I've mentioned that I had a blackout Sunday night. And when it's dark, the creepy crawlies tend to come out to play. And while we're sitting on the couch Sunday night in the dark, I saw this big, disgusting bug on the wall. And I'm not a fan of bugs. I'm not scared of them, but I don't like them. And my boyfriend got out the bug spray and tried to spray the bug, tried to get rid of it, and it flew into the bedroom and fell to the ground. I was like, quick, go get it, it's dying. But by the time we got there, it had disappeared.
Well, you live in such a large house. I understand
it. It was only a few steps, but it had disappeared. So I'm assuming it crawled in between the wall and the bedhead. It's the only place it could have gone.
Yeah.
So I was about to go to bed, and I'm like trying to convince myself. I'm like, no, the bug's dead. It's dead. Okay, the bug is dead. And I was just trying to, you know, convince myself that was the case because I needed to sleep. So I climb into bed. All the lights are off, obviously, because it's blackout. And
what on, Captain Obvious?
As I'm falling asleep, for some reason I opened my eyes and I swear to God, I saw the bug just hovering above my face.
Right in front of your face.
Right in front of my face. Oh, and I freaked out because it was just an unexpected sight.
Yeah.
And I screamed. I've never screamed like that before in my life.
Yeah.
And I threw the doona over my head so that it couldn't touch me.
Yeah, of course.
And then I called out for my partner. I'm like, Nav, get in here, get in here. And he didn't come running. And I was like, God, I wouldn't want to be murdered or something. Like, get in here.
Maybe the bug took him out first.
Maybe. Yeah. And so I reached my arm out from underneath the doona and I was worried it was going to touch my hand or something.
Sure.
Really quickly just jutted out and grabbed my phone.
Yep.
Went back under the doona and called my boyfriend. I was like, help! Yep. So he came running in. He's like, what's wrong? I'm like, the bug! It's in here! It was trying to attack me! And he had the torch on his phone looking everywhere. Could not find the bug.
Yeah.
So I finally emerged from under the doona and he's like, are you sure? I was like, well, now that I'm awake. No, I'm not. I'm not sure at all.
Dreamt it?
Well, I don't know if I dreamt it or I think I was slightly hallucinating because I was slightly asleep.
When you were, when you woke up, when you opened your eyes and saw the bug, did did the bug say, hello?
No. But I couldn't hear it at all, which is another sign that it didn't exist because normally you'd hear it fluttering above you.
Yeah.
And so I made him turn off his torch and I turned off mine and I lay there and I looked up and the ceiling fan casts a bit of a shadow. And I think that might have been it. I'm like, my bad. And he's like, you realise the window's open. The neighbours have heard this entire ordeal. You screaming, you calling out my name, me running in.
Yeah.
And it's a blackout. Everyone probably thought something crazy was happening. I'm just really surprised the neighbours didn't knock on the door to see if I was okay. I live in a very caring neighbourhood. Very caring. They're all very worried about my safety.
Obviously.
Obviously.
They were happy that you'd shut up after the screaming.
Yeah, maybe.
Gab, I thought as part of the March movement, where we're getting up and moving a little bit more each and every day, I'd also showcase a couple of, let's just say, unusual sports, or sports you haven't or may not have heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last week it was plogging or plogger, which is going for a run and picking up rubbish at the same time.
Which is great for your fitness, great for your health, great for the environment, so ticking all the boxes.
Now, this week's I thought you would love, and that is because you're a huge Harry Potter fan.
Is it Quidditch?
It's Quidditch.
Yes!
And we happen to have Elise Fox, who is the captain of the Sunshine Coast Quidditch team, the USC Dementors, with us right now. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You sound like you must be a bit of an evil team if you're the Dementors.
Oh, I reckon we're one of the nicest teams, but I think I might be biased, you know?
All right, so tell us a bit more about Quidditch, because obviously in the world of Harry Potter, everyone's flying around on broomsticks, and that's not quite possible in the real world. So how does it work?
No. Well, yeah, I guess the first thing is that we don't actually fly, contrary to popular belief. The rules are much the same as in the books.
Mm-hmm.
So each team has three chasers who are trying to score a goal by putting the quaffle through the hoops. There's also the keeper who has a similar job, but they have more special rules applying to them, like they can't get tackled within a certain zone. And we also have beaters. So the beaters are essentially playing dodgeball. So if you get hit by a bludger from a beater, then you have to dismount your broom, go back to the hoops, touch the hoops and get back into the game.
All right.
And then after, and then after 18 minutes, there's a whole other game that joins in where the snitch is released.
Yep.
And the seekers chase after the snitch to try and catch it. When the snitch is caught, the game ends.
Okay, I have enough trouble understanding the rules of soccer. You have confused me.
You're using a whole new language in Hamish's mind.
Yeah.
But just before Hamish asks you questions about the language, what is the snitch? Is that a person?
Yes. So the snitch. Okay. The snitch itself is a tennis ball inside a sock. Velcro to somebody's pants, and that person runs around.
Oh, so you're going to try to grab the snitch off his pants. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like, Oz Tag in that sense.
Oh, that's hilarious. Love that so much. So, yeah, Hamish is sitting here with a very confused look on his face because you're using Harry Potter language, which is not something. If you haven't read the books or watched the movies,
I've watched the movies, but I must admit, it sounds very in-depth. Now, obviously, in the movies and in the book, you're playing on a broom. Do you run around with a broom between your legs?
Yeah, so we call it a broom. Most people just have a plastic short little pole between their legs.
Yeah, right.
When my club first started out, we used to play with bristly wooden brooms, but there were some pretty gnarly splinters from that, so we stopped and opted for the plastic model.
Yeah. How many bruises or injuries have you obtained from this sport?
Well, I go pretty hard at it, so I've actually broken a couple of bones.
Oh!
But that's just me. But most people, you can get some pretty hectic bruises from it because it is a full contact sport.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like so much fun, I'm not going to lie. Like, it does sound quite like a dangerous sport, but I'm keen.
If there's anybody else that is keen, is there like a Quidditch Australia website that you can look up?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. Quidditch.org.au is the Quidditch Australia website.
A lot of unis actually have teams. Mm. So if you've got a uni close by, it's best to get in contact with them because for some reason it's students that love to play this game. I don't know why.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
So crazy. Weird.
Elise, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you this morning and learning a little bit more about Quidditch. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
A lady on Twitter, her name is Michelle, made me giggle this morning because she was talking about taking all of her kids' cell phones and iPads at night time so that they got a good night's sleep without being distracted by screen time.
Sure.
But the kids were little evil geniuses and set different alarms on their devices so they went off at night and their mum was furious, grounded them.
Yeah.
And I just find it hilarious, but it did pose the question, how do you limit screen time when it comes to your kids?
Yeah, I've got two boys. One is okay with his screen time. The other, the younger one, 4 years old, and he is mad for his iPad. He's always on it. And if we take the iPad away, grabs one of our phones and starts using that instead. It's insane.
It's
anyway,
toughy.
Yeah, 13, 12, 16, if you can help out. Ebony's on the line. How do you do it?
We've banned our son from having any kind of iPads or Xbox or anything from Sunday to Thursday.
Oh,
yeah, right.
So school time, not allowed to have it. Weekend, couldn't care.
Right, okay.
So Friday, Saturday, go for gold.
Go your hardest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it all out of your system.
Friday afternoon, Saturday, go for it. But he does play soccer and things, so it's not like he's on it all the time anyway. But we just found that if he was playing it during the week when it, especially during, like, school, he just won't concentrate.
Yeah.
So, and he's just distracted by it all the time.
What happens if he does end up in one of these school systems where they have to have a device to take to school and do homework on? What are you going to do then?
That'll be different completely.
That's future Ebony's problem.
We're obviously going to struggle because we told him we can't have it during school.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, obviously we'll limit what apps are on there or anything so that it is
just school-related.
For school.
Cool. Yeah, makes sense.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, get it all out on the weekends and then hopefully you're right. You've got enough of a fix to get yourself through the week. I like
Nine times out of ten at work.
Nice. All right, Ebony, thank you for that. We'll move across to Patrick now. Patrick, how do you limit screen time?
My wife actually has a four-year-old. A four-year-old son, my wife and I. And we basically put the airplane mode on because he can't access internet.
I like it. I like it.
I feel
we allow him to watch what we do, but he loves the PJ Marsh.
Yeah.
But lately he's been watching a lot of games and that, so you can lock him into child mode.
Yeah.
So you can only play certain games, but airplane mode works quite well.
I feel like that works right now, but it's not going to be very long before he figures out how to turn airplane mode off. Kids are very quick.
Yeah, and it didn't take him long to work out the codes, our security codes, to actually access them in the first place. As soon as he saw us put it in a couple of times, he's like, boom, I know what that is. He doesn't even know numbers, but he can work out where what to press.
What direction to press, yeah.
So,
he's got nothing, 6 foot two.
Yeah, and it's a good start anyway. It's a good start to do the airplane mode. Patrick, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the call.
Good luck.
No worries. Apparently, I'll need it.
I like to move it, move it. The Hit FM March Movement. Thanks to F45. Move it, move it. I like to
move it. It's 8:15 and it's time to get up and moving once again. We're taking baby steps towards a healthier existence. That's why the March Movement is a thing.
Yeah, we want to get everyone to start creating healthier habits. So it's just about moving more today than you did yesterday.
Yep.
And building on that every single day.
Now, we are giving you the chance to win a trip for two to Melbourne, including flights and accommodation, thanks to Air North. All you have to do is either take a photo of yourself or film yourself even taking part in the March Movement. So just moving a little bit. It doesn't have to be. If you're filming, you don't have to be filming for the full 3 minutes of a song, for instance. Just a quick grab, if you will.
Yesterday, Beck took a video of her on the trampoline.
Oh, lovely.
What a great idea.
That is a
full-on exercise I thought I could last half hour last time I was on a trampoline.
Nope.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
If that.
Yep, definitely. All right, for more details on that and how to enter, go to the win page at hit.com.au. Now, we've teamed up with the lovely folks at F45, Toowoomba Central Team Training, Life Changing. They've been helping us out since the beginning of the March Movement. And we've got Josh from there on the line. We're talking exercises. What exercise are we having a look at today?
Lunges today, guys.
Lunges.
Awesome. I hate lunges, but they're good for your legs. So what kind of technique are we looking at?
Okay, so when you're doing lunges, same as any time we're doing a squat, we want to keep that good upright position in the chest. Now, what you want to do, standing feet shoulder width apart together, you want to step 1 foot 2 to 3 feet in front of the other foot, making sure that knee doesn't overstep the toe. And drop that knee down, the other knee down, so we're at a 90-degree bend in both knees. Then step that foot back up so you put your feet beside each other again.
I always lose my balance in lunges. What kind of tips can you give for keeping that balance upright?
The biggest thing with balance in lunges is having core strength. So working on core strength previously around the lower abdominal, lower back. And the other things are to focus your eyes on an object in front of you. And make sure you do them nice and slowly. Don't rush them. That's another thing to keep that balance.
All right, cheers for that, Josh. It's time to get into it. Gab, what are you going to do? You're going to do the lunges?
Yeah, I think I'll do lunges. I don't like them, but they're good for your butt.
All right, well, this song, 3 minutes 34 seconds worth of work. Lunges in this case. Pink, you and your head. It's Hit a Bam. Pink, you and your hand, our March Movement song for this morning. It's 8:21.
I like to move it, move it. The Hit FM March Movement. Thanks to F45. Move it, move it. You like to
move it. How'd you go with your lunges there, Gab?
My bum and quads are burning.
Yeah, I have skipped pretty much every single leg day in existence, so I'm not having a good time right now. I'm sitting down, but I don't know whether I can get back up again.
You can't feel your legs anymore.
No.
That's what happens.
No, I definitely can't. Look, the March Movement is definitely rolling on. A lot of people getting involved, and it's inspired by the fact that we found out that over 60% of Queenslanders are deemed overweight.
Yeah, and we just want to encourage people to have healthier habits.
Yeah, we caught up with Michelle Bridges when we found that out, and this is what she had to say.
I think we are unfortunately getting worse, and I've been saying this for probably nearly 10 years that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Mm. You know, the statistic of 60% overweight, and there'd be a stat inside of that of that are obese as well, and that starts to wreak havoc with massive health complications around heart disease, type 2 diabetes, all the complications that come with that.
Mm. Yeah, it's not good, not good at all. But the idea is that we're hopefully turning things around and we would love for you to be involved.
Yeah, and we do want you to come along to an event we're holding this Saturday as well. This is going to be absolutely insane. F45 Toowoomba Central Team Training Life Changing is going to be running a free outdoor fitness class. We have partnered up with them and it's going to be epic. It's for all fitness levels, so no matter who you are and where you are in your fitness journey, you can come down and enjoy the sesh.
So if you consider yourself a very fit person, then obviously they'll have exercises and stuff that will still challenge you.
Oh, definitely.
If you're not considered a fit person, then they will make sure that there are a bunch of exercises that cater for your needs as well.
For example, Hamish, you and I both go to F45 and we both leave absolutely knackered from an awesome workout.
Yep.
And you're about 1,000 times fitter than I am. So it just proves the point that no matter what fitness level you're at, you can still get a lot out of the session.
Yep.
So come on down. There's going to be freebies, giveaways. There's going to be samples. There'll be so much happening. 8 a.m. the 24th, which is this Saturday, Queen's Park in Toowoomba. We're going to have a ball.
Yeah, the team from Athlete's Foot are on it as well. They'll be there, and you can find your perfect fit at Athlete's Foot. I asked you just before, Gab, to tell us how much you love chocolate, and there is no scale, according to
you. No, there's no answer to that question. It is an unanswerable question, because I love chocolate that much.
That much. Mm-hmm. Well, then you'd be very interested in to know that the world's priciest chocolate has gone on display in Portugal.
Mm.
Now, this chocolate is worth about $15,000. It's covered in edible gold. It's part of a limited edition, and it has a filling of saffron threads, white truffle, vanilla from Madagascar, and gold flakes. And it's currently guarded by two uniformed men.
I don't know about you, but I love the taste of gold.
I wouldn't know. I don't get to munch on gold very often. In fact, never.
You know that metallic taste that everybody adores?
Yeah. Mm. Why would you? Why? It's gold. Why would you eat it? Keep the gold. Don't go snacking on gold. That's just ridiculous. But yeah, amazing. About $15,000.
How big is it?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest.
Because if it's not human size,
no, it's
I don't
not.
Want. Oh, well, then I don't
It'll
want
be just
bar
a little
it.
Taste.
No.
It's like a bonbon.
No. Yeah. 15 grand for something that'll be gone in 5 seconds. Yeah. Not having a bar of it.
I reckon there's only two reasons that you'd buy chocolate worth $15,000. Either you're super rich.
And you got nothing else to spend it on.
Or you're really, really sorry.
This is Hamish and Gabby. Catch up.